This podcast was made possible by an anonymous Irvingtonian and by our primary sponsor, Artisan Realtors, your Irvington real estate source.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Firehouse Irvington. This is a show that really is about the state of mind and the geographical location that is Irvington. We wouldn't be able to do the show without Artisan Realtors, located at 5610 East Washington Street between Ossip and the Legend Cafe. If you would like one of their artisans to craft a personal real estate experience for you, buying or selling, contact them today. Artisan takes pride. They're a member of the Irvington Business Association and also are participants in the annual Irvington Halloween Festival. So be sure to visit Artisan Realtors. And yes, you too could be enjoying Irvington. This is a special edition. I got a chance to sit down with Marilyn Isaacs Kaufman. And Marilyn is an intuitive. She's a psychic. She's a healer. Longtime friend. Always has some very interesting viewpoints about what is going on in the world. She is relocated to California, but we were pleased to be able to grab her on one of her occasions to be here in the greater Indianapolis area. I think that you'll enjoy this conversation. Firehouse Irvington, it's about connections, and Marilyn knows a lot about that topic. This is Firehouse Irvington, a very special edition. We're actually doing this in the studios of Q95 outside of Irvington, but this is a show that is about Irvington and all the wonderful connections of Irvington. And there's a woman that knows more about connections in central Indiana than any other, and that is Marilyn Isaacs, who is our special guest today. And Marilyn, thank you for taking time out on a Saturday come out to do Firehouse Irvington.
Well, I'm so excited to be here.
Now, you probably have heard Irvington is a state of mind more than a geographical location. So you probably have heard, well known for Irvington ghosts.
Oh, absolutely.
There are paranormal experts that will tell you that it's built on these ley lines, which something that has sort of come up recently. There's been a couple of films about the potential ley lines of Manhattan, and that's why.
And they're everywhere. They're all over the earth.
Right. That's why New York.
The earth is gridded.
Yeah, that's why New York supposedly grew into the city.
Of course.
That it grew into. So I don't know. Have you heard much? I know that you oftentimes are brought out on paranormal investigations. And do you remember anyone out in Irvington?
Oh, yeah. I was on the ghost tours. We did several. We filmed different things. All for many years, I've been connected with Irvington. But I have a theory about Irvington because, you know, everything kind of moved east. I'm from Connersville originally. One of the people that was connected with Connersville left Connersville, which preceded actually Indianapolis and preceded the Connor Prairie. There are two Connor brothers. And a fur trapper guy came over into the area over there and settled. So there's like, you know, that settlement came from the east, right? So I think what happens with when things manifest, anything that's happened on the earth is recorded in a vibration. And of course, the Native Americans were here and all the different things were going on. So I think that they went to areas that were already, you know, there were obviously people were using, and there was energy connected with it. But yeah, I think the haunted aspect of Irvington is kind of different. It's like I always experience it as a very astral energy, like the astral realm. There's many different levels of consciousness, and the astral realm is very much a mirror image of this level. And we would encounter really extreme, I don't want to say demonic, but there'd be playful kind of energy, but there would also be kind of very, there's some malefic energy in the different, you know, different places.
I guess the oversimplification of it is that, you know, they always talk about a residual haunting. Perhaps there's somebody that left the mortal coil and still felt like, you know, I have unfinished business here.
Right.
So sometimes we think in terms of somebody's had a tragic accident or or a homicide or something of that nature. And then there's just areas that because they just have that center of being, if you will, that sort of open themselves up to it. And I've always felt like Irvington sort of has a combination of the two.
It does. Yeah. I think it has an ambiance. It has its own little romantic. There's a level of the spiritual realms called glamour, which is connected with, a lot of people mistake that for a higher state, which it's really not. So it attracts in drama. Right.
Yeah. Most of the people of Irvington say that they've come to terms and they're at peace with, quote, their ghosts. That,
right.
You know, their ghosts are sort of a part and parcel of their home or their business. And they just kind of, you know, go on, you know, the phrase is as if,
right.
as if
right.
it's not there.
Well,
you know?
Part of the thing is the illusion is separation. We fell through fear into this illusion of separation that there's, I'm alive, I'm dead, I'm sleeping, I'm awake, I'm whatever, whatever. So especially now we're in this time of an awakening and realizing there is no, we're healing that illusion of separation. And we fell through fear into this illusion, you know.
Well, and that's why I'm glad you're on the show today. It's been a little tough for us to even find a working studio.
Yeah.
Here. And this is a radio station I've worked at since 1981, so it's not to knock our engineers, but somehow or other we got into a weird
vortex
flow. Yes.
We're in the fourth space here, fourth dimension. We're in the moving into.
Well, and this radio station has always been a bit eccentric anyway from coming here for all the years that I've come here. You know, we're very used to the rivers rising. We have wildlife around here.
Yep.
We have these great fogs. I used my old schedule. The engineers and I would get off at midnight, and we'd just sit on the loading dock and watch the fog roll into the field, and it was very cool. There's sort of this ethereal nature to this area.
Oh, absolutely.
And of course, when things go wrong, we joke that, you know, it's on some, you know, haunted ground that should have never ever been built on, but our station somehow magically sprung forth, you know.
Well, things are just energetic, so it's how you use the energy for negative or positive, right? There's energy spots everywhere. And so it's kind of like, I think with the, you know, water nearby and just the whole energy of the Native Americans were thick through here too. I mean, obviously this is like was meant to be a place to be broadcasting to come forth.
Yeah, no,
it is interesting. I remember being on early shows, you know, becoming early in the morning or being on Sunday Night Live with you in the same, seeing the fog. Yeah, it's magical.
Well, and this particular area is not too far away from the Skiles Test House,
exactly.
You know, the House of Blue Lights,
right.
And that show has its own, we've done the House of Blue Lights shows
right.
here at the radio station and on Sunday Night Live. But of interest is, Skiles Test was associated with an individual that was very much into conservancy, and if you look
right.
at the woods that are in the back of Fort Harrison, which is now a state park,
right.
And if you look at a map, an overhead map of Indianapolis, that 465 goes through it now, but that whole area of woods right behind North Central High School on up here to where the radio station is, that was an early conservator saying, yes, I know the city of Indianapolis is nearby, but we do have to preserve some green space. And they were really into animals. And that's why I think
I knew
we
they
do
found
have
Indian mounds. I know that, well, you know, my house, 80th and Westfield, you know, near North Central. And I've heard for 35 years of being in that area, I've heard stories of behind North Central that lots of people know where, but they don't tell, but where there were mounds.
Interesting, yeah.
And the Indian mounds weren't always burials. They would mark energy. They would enhance the flow of a current.
Well, I know
and
that.
I had no idea it ran that. That makes sense, though.
I know that you guys actually personally owned a large mound in Southwest Ohio, right?
Southeast Ohio. Yeah, well, Southwest, yeah.
Southeast Indiana, Southwest Ohio,
general
area.
Well, we didn't own the mound. We owned 16 acres that backed up into the entrance to Serpent Mound, which is the largest effigy mound in the world. So people come from all over the world to see Serpent Mound. You know, it's made to be seen from the air, obviously. And we found it with the Harmonic Convergence. I had a TV show in 1987 from Comcast called The Psychic Connection. And we heard about the Harmonic Convergence in August of 87. It was one of the 36 sacred sites to go to. And we went there and a year later bought the 16 acres that backed up into it. And for many, many years had retreats and different things. Yeah. And now it's a place people, lots of people that live in the area don't even go there or hadn't been. And now it's like a very, they've done documentaries on it.
Yeah. I just got through reading a fascinating book. There is a technology known as LIDAR. And they're using it for mapping technology because you probably know with GPS, you can know exactly where you are on the planet, which is spooky and interesting at the same time. But LIDAR helps pinpoint locations to like infinitesimal degrees, like, you know, like a 16th of a 16th of a 16th of an inch. But the reason why that has become pertinent now is they're starting to determine while they're doing some of this new mapping that there are structures that we didn't notice that we just built over.
All over the world.
So as you said, you know, the ancient people.
Pyramids all over the world.
Right.
Edgar Cayce said, hey, guess what? When the waters were coming, people were sent out all over the earth to build these different things.
Yeah,
right?
And they found an extraordinary one in the greater St. Louis area, which now National Geographic's done a number of shows about.
Cahokia. I've been to Cahokia. They know it was Mesoamerican. I mean, and they found... people that were sacrificed. Did you know that? They think maybe 20,000, it was an ancient culture, right?
Yeah, when we say ancient cultures, we say that we have potentially different lifestyles. Apparently,
right.
When you, all you need to do is watch the film Gladiator to be introduced to kind of a little alternate universe where instead of NFL, no, we're going to have blood sport. And what's blood sport? We release lions on slaves.
Oh, absolutely.
It's have not a seat. Did you want popcorn?
Yeah, exactly. And there's always this thing that when we fell in that illusion of leaving the garden, nothing, I believe there was a state on earth at one time where nothing had to die to live. And then we fell into that thing. Something has to die, be sacrificed, even into Christianity. You know, something has to die for us to be reborn. It's this dying God myth, you know, that really totally precedes Christ. You know, it's like goes way back. And, so we judge those people. We think, why did they rip their heart and do these different things? Yeah, it's not anything new.
We are pleased to be bringing Firehouse Irvington to you. And Firehouse Irvington has a special guest, Marilyn Isaacs. We're, of course, you know, the emphasis of our show is on Irvington because of all those interconnections. And it's been one of those communities that's held on despite encroachment of, you know, the social issues.
It's going back
issues.
In time. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it. We've had Alan E. Hunter on, who you've met during the ghost tours.
Right. Yep.
And just recently did a podcast with him about just sort of general history. He did a presentation at the Irving Theater, which is kind of a cool building.
Well, I did some things there, you know, the Al set up. Yeah, we did lots of stuff back in the day.
We might have had a ghost there as well.
Oh,
because
gosh,
we had a number of technical problems during our presentation there. And we will be doing a show about just strictly the Irving Theater. But we're very fortunate that whole structure.
I love that theater, actually. I think it's so cool.
Well, you know, the Rivoli is not too far from there.
Right.
And the Rivoli is just ruined.
Well, Dan T. Hall is a friend of mine. I've been seven of his movies. We started with Central State, but segment we were with Rivoli. And I know it was just so sad.
And it's sad to see this wonderful structure. And, you know, as you well know, the stewardship of history is interesting because everyone is always saying, you know, you'll drive by a great building out in the country and you'll go, somebody should save that. Well, there are people who end up in ownership thereof kind of thing. It's like, hey, you bought this historic farm and there's this historic structure. Well, you may or may not be smitten with the history of it all. You may go, hey, I'm painting that barn purple. And I'm going to put on, solar panels and I don't care about history.
Right.
There's other people that are like, I just didn't know. But so many of these structures are in the hands of private citizens who may or may not be, you know, in tune with the historical nature.
Or they love them and they let them go into decay anyway.
Right.
Or they're...
Well, that's why we're very lucky that the Irving Theater is in the local hands that it is. And, you know, even the Irving Theater has had some chapters in its history where an owner tried to, you know, put a dividing wall down the middle and show a movie on the left-hand side, the right-hand side. And that didn't really work out. And then, sadly, they showed adult films
for
10 years there. Because,
as well, right.
Yeah, because that kind of happened to the theaters of Indianapolis because...
They were in disrepair. Right, they fell
on
hard times.
We all look at these different eras and we'll go, the adult film cinema.
Right.
Wow. We're really glad that that has passed.
Exactly. That's gone into the privacy of people's homes.
Yeah, it's no longer an issue. Well, it's apparently gone from not only just the privacy of your home, but to your computer screen.
To your computer screen, exactly.
Even that industry,
it's amazing.
Even that industry has had a shift in a paradigm, as we
exactly.
like to say. But Marilyn, about those connections with people, I think the one great thing about, and you and I have been fortunate to have known each other for a very long time and have
long
done a number
time.
Of shows together, but I always love your views on how really connected we are as people, and we may not even know it. So if you live in the community of Irvington, you may say, I was drawn to this area, or
right.
I feel
There's
especially close in that
right.
region, and much of that is because of the connection of people.
It's true. And I found that when I was doing a lot of things in Irvington, that people are so interconnected there. And there's a big sense of community. And so when they, you know, all the different, I think it's totally, people are drawn to things from the turn of the century, from the 20s, from the, you have to be, right? It's that, and I think that's the way it is with like-mindedness. You do find places that you're interconnected with, yeah.
And Irvington has been a very welcoming community, and then it has just great history associated with it.
Butler was there. People forget.
Yeah, and just the simple fact that there are aspects to Irvington that, you know, we've delved into in the show. Like, for the longest time, there weren't any beer or spirits ever served
that's right.
in Irvington.
No, right. Yes, they had enough of their own. Well, that's why they call alcohol, you know, spirits, because they're... It can. There are people that pass over that don't want to go to the light, that want to have, we call them spirit attachments. So they find somebody that like to drink what they drank or like to do what they like to do. And that's why some people, when they drink, they become like a different person, or they can't stop drinking because they're taking on these spirit attachments. And it could be alcohol, drugs, work, sex, it could be anything. But yeah.
No, it's a great point. And you know, there are, individuals that are in the spiritual world have talked about that, unfortunately, at some places where they serve alcohol, there can
right.
be a sort of low energy pool,
right?
Which there's
that
a reason
up.
Why, yeah, because I just did a show about alcohol awareness, and the facts that have come in are actually somewhat reassuring. Do we live in a society where alcohol is a problem? Yes, and 10% of adults age 18 plus. May or may not have a problem, and that's a topic for another show.
Sure.
But the reason why I bring that up is, thankfully, 90% of Americans have learned to, despite the occasional hangover, perhaps on July 5th, have found that, yes, I can use alcohol and use it in an appropriate fashion. So that's reassuring that the figure is actually 90%. You know, because sometimes when you get hit with statistics, it's catastrophic. You know, it's like everyone has, you know, some form of mental illness. It's like, that's not reassuring.
No. No. All the numbers that come out now on narcissism, you know, because we have a poster person in
white. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And
well,
subject,
everyone,
yeah.
And I always urge people, here's what's really funny. If you are having a difficult time with somebody you work with, I urge people, not because I want you to become an armchair psychologist, because sometimes that can be dangerous.
Of course.
But just read a little bit about narcissism, because
there's
a lot online. And just
there's videos. There's
just arming yourself with a tiny bit of information.
Yeah.
Because if you say to yourself, wow, person A, I just cannot cooperate fully with them, you realize they are exhibiting a sign of, and you know, and this tends to just happen. So however, you know, one in 100 people or whatever, just because I've always felt like with narcissists, they just don't know their effect on others.
Right.
In a
that's the point of a narcissist. They don't see themselves.
Yeah.
They don't see how they look, or they're the center of their universe. You're in an ego extension.
In
so.
A strange way, that's reassuring now, you know, because you just know,
right.
Hey, look, they're going to trot all over you. Not even intentionally.
No.
But they're not going to reflect later and go, you know, I was a little mean to Sally at that meeting. It's like, yeah, the narcissist has moved on.
They have totally moved on. Whatever moment they're in, that's they're in.
It's funny. But as you said, you mentioned another name, Dan Hall, a guy who has done films on paranormal activity in Central Indiana. And you did do...
our first one was Central State.
Yeah, you did Central
yeah,
State.
Yeah, we did which seven you, different
you
films.
Said, you've said...
That was creepy. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you've shared with me personally that we went that through particular all 4 miles. Place has a real misery factor associated with
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And that's part of that, you know, the people that sadly died there had legitimate mental health issues. And in that era, the way that they were dealt with was just pure neglect.
It was horrible.
Yeah, and that's a tough one. When you think about what individuals turn of the century went through, and they were literally just warehoused there, I
right.
guess is
oh yeah,
and sadly experimented
and,
on
yeah
and,
right lobotomies and
yeah some yeah. pretty horrendous
not
things
not good stuff that's for sure.
We don't do them anymore. Every once in a while, we'll meet someone that should have one, but
absolutely.
They just don't do it anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
But so you've been to Central State, you've been to Rivoli, and did you feel? That the Rivoli, did you feel a sense of real profound haunting at the Rivoli?
Not haunting. It was more like layers. I think everything that we think, feel, say, and do goes out into a rate of vibration that can be read. It's called the Akashic Records, or the Bible calls it the Lamb's Book of Life. But there's a living vibratory record. So I think, especially when there's been places of entertainment and there's been groups of people, you could almost hear like, I could hear the movie. I could hear
the echo,
the din.
If you will.
It's like you go into old schools. It's the same way. You can kind of hear children. And it's not that they're trapped there. It's more residual stuff that's layered that I think that will come through. Yeah.
I feel that, you know, certain areas do have a vibrational sense. And one of the things we talked about in a recent podcast with Alan Hunter and Dave Wilson, because they are both Civil War historians.
Oh, yeah. I've been to Gettysburg with Al 3 different times.
Yeah, and got an opportunity to chat with both of them about what is the one Civil War site that resonates
sure.
with you the most, and they do say Gettysburg.
Yeah.
And I
the Triangle gathered... Field is amazing. We went for 2 nights in a row, and you should see the pictures that we got, and they're not normal orbs. They're like huge balls of fire. And he told me to go stand in a certain spot. And there's this light, looks like lightning that strikes right where I'm pointing, where I'm standing on the spot. Oh, yeah. Amazing
and
stuff.
And is it just
amazing.
Because we just had this tremendous loss of life with so many young men?
Yeah.
And, you know, any Civil War battlefield is tragic. But Gettysburg seems especially tragic in the light of the fact that it just didn't have to happen. It really was an accidental battle that drew a large number of Union and Confederate forces in close proximity to each other and resulted in just a horrific loss of life.
And what I like to do, I'm not an evoker. You see these shows and they're trying to bring up these spirits. I go to places to heal places, which is totally unusual. And, you know, people love that phenomenon. And a lot of ghost hunting actually creates negative energy and attracts bring stuff that wasn't even there or enhances it. So when we were at the Triangle, we had amazing things happen. Like I said, they showed up in pictures and showed up all kinds of places. And then we went to the bridge that's there. And there were all these people like provoking the spirits. And we're like, oh my God, it was creepy. So we went down by the water and they're all up there going, hey, just very bizarre ideas that some of the ghost groups have. And we did a little prayer. I did a prayer and kind of a clearing to zap that kind of energy. And there's a picture and there's like three of me. There's like all kinds of white energy actually pulling it. You can see pulling in the light. It was really interesting.
We're talking to Marilyn Isaacs Kaufman on Firehouse Irvington. Marilyn, we were just talking about, we have all these vivid things that happen to us, but it's really odd how sometimes just selectively we'll remember something with great vivid recall.
Yeah.
And then there's other things where you're going, boy, I spent a great deal of time doing that and it's just not there.
Oh, my God.
Now, there's a pet theory that All the information is actually in there.
True.
It's just that you have so much information. It's a little bit like an overstocked library. It
yes.
takes a while for the librarian to bring the fact to light, because anything that you can't remember now, I swear to you, and you tell me if I'm right about this, let's say there's something you can't remember this moment. 30 minutes from now, when you're in your car driving down the road, you'll go, Joe Smith, I told you it was Joe Smith.
Every day, every day.
Yeah, so that's, for me, it's slightly reassuring that I'll right. remember it later, because if I didn't remember it at all, I'd be like, oh, drat. You know, it's like that whole thing, you know, I bump into people that, like, they're, like, super good with music. They'll hear two notes. Now, I'm super good with 70s, 80s, and 90s songs.
Oh, sure.
But if you play me a 50s song or a song that was recorded 50 minutes ago, those two eras, I'm like, don't know.
Right, exactly. So, not familiar. No familiarity.
And I've also thought about, too, some things are not necessarily that important that you remember. While
right.
it might be good to
That's
know
true.
Every song that was recorded in 1970 that appeared on the radio, in a strange, bizarre way, that's why they call it trivia, do they not? Because
right.
that information is not going to save a life or,
exactly.
or you know, promote anything of any great goodwill. It might help
true.
Your trivia team advance to the final round. But outside of that. So we are talking about Irvington and all things interconnected. And Marilyn, throughout the years, of course, people have turned to you for help because you've actually been able to you know, kind of see some things in their life, help them out, kind of push them along. And I know you've got, you know, throughout the years, I just love the fact that you have, you know, you've built yourself, I think, as an intuitive first and foremost.
Right.
Which is critically important about just being in tune with the world.
Sure.
But you've been able to heal people and do house blessings.
Right.
And
yeah.
even marry people. You famously married the Bakers.
Absolutely. And had the flu that morning. And
yes.
Didn't forget you were coming. I'm like, no, I wish we'd had
my wife and I. My wife and I chuckle that we were.
That's
now,
so
here's,
funny.
Here's how we bill it. We were married by a nice psychic lady in a bathrobe.
Exactly. Which for some people would think, yeah, we would figure that could happen, right?
People are like going, and you're still married? Oh,
but, yeah.
Yeah, everything's fine.
This is like the best thing. That's right. That's funny. Yeah, I'm one of those kind of, it's. I think a lot of people have it, but we don't hear about it unless you're talking about Buddhism or different things. But I have what they call conscious recall. So I can remember my birth and where I was before. And so since I was a little child, before I could read, I had one foot in the, I'm very lucky. My gifts of Holy Spirit are very integrated with my personality. So from a very early age, I could tell people things. I just knew things. I'd go in people's houses and, you know, just start talking about their Aunt Lillian or their whatever, whatever. And I knew about Egypt and I knew about Greece. I knew, and I would tell my parents things when I was 2-3 years old. And they're like, who is this person? Right. And I, you know, I would be in, very conservative Connersville, and where I was church I was brought up in. I remember being 4 years old and I was in a Baptist church. It was very difficult. And I would be like, no, Jesus wasn't like this. It's like, no, trust me. He was. And I would say, well, if the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all men, how did anything get born?
Right.
That's one of my famous ones.
You were trying to think of the practical.
Yes. I'm going, no, you guys, there's another thing here. Yeah. So very early on, my father was a beekeeper. His first hive of bees came to him when he was 5 years old. So he was a very kind of mystical person. And so I was brought up on a bee farm. And we would go in the woods and animals would come up to us. So that was normal, right?
Right.
So when I went to college, I wanted to be in theater. I wanted to be a therapist. Whatever. I started immediately. I've been doing my work full time for 47 years, believe it or not. I'm 70. I can't even believe it. But I was lucky and it just, it's a natural thing. I think some people are born, they can paint, they can play a piano, they have whatever gifts they have just are there at a
right.
small age. So I think with me, I've done this for so many lifetimes that it was like, I remember different incarnations I've had and luckily I didn't have to hit my head or study something or something. It's just been integrated with me.
Well,
so, and I love that part.
And for me being around you for the length of time I have found there's a somewhat of a natural skepticism to all parts
sure.
of life, as you well know.
Right.
And I call it the psychic effect. And it's like,
right.
Hey, I want to introduce you to Marilyn. And, you know, just to let you know, she's very intuitive and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, well, I don't believe in psychics, but could you tell me something? You know,
it's hilarious.
It's so funny.
Or people will go, I don't, you're going to know what I'm thinking. Or you're going to, people are very interesting. But yeah, there's always a natural curiosity.
Now, here's what's interesting for me is I didn't do this to downgrade real spiritualists, because there are a lot of people out there that are doing some good work.
Sure.
But as we know, the spiritual world, if you ever look up spiritualism.
Oh, yeah.
There were a series of parlor tricks, unfortunately.
Oh, it was awful. I've never been to Camp Jester. I get it. And I think we shouldn't be worshiping talking to dead relatives. If things come through, that's one thing.
Correct.
But yeah, it's a whole level.
Yeah, well.
And there was a lot that happened.
And if you look that up, you'll realize the controversy is there are people with real gifts.
Absolutely.
But there were also people that said, hey, look. If I can take advantage of somebody's sorrow or somebody's need
grief.
To know the future.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, here's what's really strange. And this just happened to me by total accident. The only skill set I have is I have this incredible empathy. I can read people almost immediately.
Absolutely.
Now, it's not to such a degree I'd hang a shingle out.
Right.
Stop by my house and I'll tell you how you're feeling today.
Right.
But I do get empathy hits off people all the time.
Oh, yeah, you're an empath for sure.
But it is hilarious because a friend of mine, I got introduced at some party, and the guy says, hey, this is Jay Baker. He's a noted psychic. He'll be glad to do a reading for
hilarious.
You.
That's hilarious. Oh, my God.
But what is interesting is purely cold through empathy alone, I can at least give them something that they'll walk away from and go,
absolutely.
Man, that's really incredible.
Yep.
But I don't confuse that if it is a gift, I don't confuse that gift with quote genuine insight. And I think that you've had that skill set of having genuine insight, and that's why people are drawn to you. And I don't live your life with you, but I've been around you for so long. I think it's probably been a little draining for you because so many people are like, Marilyn, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? And I'm not saying that's every aspect of your life,
right?
But there are a lot of fearful people that sort of don't move forward.
Right.
Until they feel like, hey, you're going to give me the good signs or the lay of the land.
Right. And through my work, because I'm a spiritual teacher too, what I try to do is when I do the hands-on healing, is to activate a person's divine, their own original divine blueprint, and to kind of go back. But I have a whole thing about point of origin. Where did something go off your divine blueprint? What is different between what's really right for you and what's familiar, and pull things out by the roots that, you know, and make people do their own work, because ultimately we are responsible for our karma and we have to deal with it. Right. So that's what I try to do. So in that with my work, I attract a lot of people that think they're just coming for, you know, their love life or money or whatever aspect they're looking for. And it's really, we find some really neat, deep stuff that comes up that helps them heal.
Yeah, because as you would say, superfluously in life, we all want a little bit of fame, a little bit of money,
of course,
the right kind of love.
Sure.
I do. I marvel at, and I know you do a lot of work with people in relationships and things. I do marvel at the sense of ideal love is an idea that doesn't seem to diminish with time. There's,
right.
Despite the fact we're in a very cynical age,
sure,
there are people still searching for their ideal love. I think that's for me, always keeps my faith in humanity high.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes we can get very cynical.
Right.
You know, you can get cut off in traffic and you work with a bore at work, worse, and,
right.
and you go home just dead tired and you go, why bother?
Right.
But I think that sense of trying to find idealistic love is reassuring to me. So.
Well, it is. And I think we're in the era where my whole thing is also about actualizing unconditional love. It's not a T-shirt you wear or a book you read or buying coffee for somebody in line, but it's how we treat one another. And we have to actualize unconditional love. And there's a lot of scriptures that talk about it. You know, perfect love, which is to me actually is unconditional love, heals all fear. Perfect love heals all fear. And it's true. When you're in a state of unconditional love, it's like there's the left brain, right brain's not fighting. You're in this ideal love. You're in this higher state where everything's one. It's not like the conditional of I'll love you if you do this or if you don't do that. So I would compare what you're saying with the ideal. So I do think it's innate in people to know that there is unconditional love. Animals help us with that, right? And I think the more we love ourselves unconditionally, then we attract that wholeness in the outer world. And that's, yeah.
Yeah, and I am a little bit more reassured, too, now with, you know, now that we've broken down some societal barriers, you're not as loath to tell your friends that you love them.
Right.
You don't want to just, you know, I love you and weep on their shoulder.
Right.
But I do make a point of telling my friends, hey, I love you.
Absolutely.
And,
it's a wonderful
you know,
thing.
And boy, when I was, you know, a 10, 20, 30-year-old man, I was like, no, I'm Mr. Macho.
Of course.
Those are my male friends. And women want to meet me, so I only love women, you know. But
exactly.
I just
yeah,
that whole
yeah.
thing of just kind of allowing yourself to say, no, we have close relationships in our lives for a reason, and you genuinely love those people. So I think that's another connectivity thing that people will maybe not be totally aware of.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, and we're living in a time where you got two choices, fear or unconditional love. And if you want to keep living in fear, then you want to control or be controlled. And it's not going to work, folks. That old paradigm is not going to keep ruling the earth. It's not. The unconditional love at the end of the day is going to win out. So the more you push through your fear, you push through the things that your blocks, you can do it. It's hard, but you can. It's like the rose-colored glasses are off right now. They're smashed. We're all being forced to heal and face reality. And it's not been pleasant for the last couple of years, especially for people, but it's what's happening.
Now, you have recently relocated to California, but you still do a lot of work here in central
right.
Indiana.
Right.
How is that going for
you?
Well,
yeah, Merlin, my son, moved out there 9 years ago. And actually, 40-some years ago, I was on my way out to California from New York. I was married to a man who was in Jesus Christ Superstar, above all things, because I have a very strong connection with Mary Magdalene and that whole energy. And we were moving lock, stock, and barrel from California, or from New York to California, because he had a movie, and somebody died and they canceled the movie. And he said, even though he'd never lived outside of New York, we're moving to Indianapolis. And that's how I got here in 1974. And my son never even knew the story. And he has been there for 10, 11 years. And I moved, it'd be 2 years this summer. Yeah. And it's been interesting because I would go back and forth, obviously, to see Merlin and do work. And all of a sudden, it felt like I was supposed to move. But I have so much here, so I'm going back and forth. And my house hasn't sold, believe it or not. That beautiful house at 8001
right.
Westfield Boulevard. It's actually two houses. And
by the way, as you hear this podcast, it's currently for
it's
sale.
It's currently for sale. Or
yeah, so.
If anybody wants to go in with me to do like a Airbnb, I would love to have, if somebody would buy it and we'd turn it into something, I can go back and forth. We can do a lot of stuff there. But yeah, it's interesting. I know part of it. People every day on Facebook, people go, oh, we drive by your house and we wish you were there. It's like,
yeah.
I'm going, people, yeah, it's interesting.
You really do have a following. And I was wondering, are you still doing your readings and everything in California? Because I know people rely on you so
much. Oh, yeah.
Much.
Oh, yeah. No, I do. No, it was hard at first when I left because people did not want to do FaceTime or they didn't want to do Skype. They didn't want to do phone rings. So they're so used to coming to see me, right? But yeah, I do. I have tons of interesting clients, of course, because it's California. Kind of well-known people, different. And I do ongoing work with people. People aren't aware of that, but I, you know, I have packages I sell instead of like hourly things. I do corporate work. I do a lot of spiritual teaching, but yeah. Oh yeah. I've been back here. I'm booked up. I've been booked up every day with 7, 8, 9 people.
Good. And how do people contact you?
At 317-224-8707. And I'm on Facebook under Marilyn Isaacs Kaufman. And there's a lot of stuff I put videos on. I'm on Instagram, Marilyn the Healer.
Good.
Marilyn, you got to have a handle now, right?
Yes, absolutely. Everybody has to have a handle.
I wish all this stuff had been around back in the day.
Or as we say in our age group, duh, didn't you know that?
That's right. There you go. Exactly.
Well, Marilyn, thank you so much. I know we always get so busy, but I am glad you took the time to sit down and talk about
us. We were going to persevere and push through. Well, thank you again for having me here. This is great.
This has been another edition of Firehouse Irvington. I'm Jay Baker. We'd like to thank Marilyn Isaacs Kaufman for being our guest. We wouldn't be able to do these shows without the help of Kevin Friedley and Dawn Briggs. and certainly the help of Artisan Realtors, who have given us an investment. You'll find them at 5610 East Washington Street between Ossip and the Legend Cafe. They'll craft an artisan real estate deal for you, whether you're buying or selling. And we talk so much about Irvington. Picture yourself living in beautiful, historic Irvington. Firehouse Irvington will be back for another edition, and look for us at different live events. On behalf of the staff of Firehouse Irvington, we'll see you soon, and be kind.